I was asked by the people, the church members, to share the message I shared last Sunday in church. It was a message which I was supposed to share in London. And in London, during the conference, I started to share the message, but just a few minutes into the message, the Spirit of the Lord just diverted the whole message to a different topic. But I agree that the Word of God, should always be collected. Jesus told the apostles, collect the fragments of the bread that remained. None of it should be lost because it has been blessed by God, and it will always, even the fragments of bread, always have nourishment and a blessing. So let's go to that same message and, with the help of God, do justice to this message. Let's turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 9 and 10. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul writes, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." Can we say amen? What a beautiful scripture. Hallelujah. And that's the title of the message. God also hath highly exalted. Can we all say God hath highly exalted him? The word exalt means to think or to speak very highly of someone. And there is no one in the entire universe that God thinks more highly or speaks more highly of than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, we never come across anybody in the entire Bible whom God exalted so highly. So we should all be interested in the person whom God himself thinks and speaks so highly of. Praise God. We must be reminded that God did mighty, countless mighty works in the past. He created the universe. He created powerful angels. But yet, this is not the work that he thinks and speaks most highly of. He made humans in his image. He said it's very good. And yet, this is not the work he thinks and speaks most highly of. God delivered Israel from Egypt with many incredible miracles. And yet, this is not the work that he thinks and speaks most highly of. In the Old Testament, God ascribed many names to himself: Jehovah Elyon, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Nisi, etc. And yet, there is no other name he thinks and speaks more highly of than the name Jesus. Praise God. Can we shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. There is only one name that God has highly exalted. God does not exalt anything or anyone unless it is himself. Amen. God does not share his glory with another. Praise God. Can we all say that? God will never share his glory with another. Amen. Why? Because God is one. That's why we do not believe and a trinity cannot exist. Because there are three persons in the trinity, according to the doctrine of the trinity, which means they all have to share the glory. But in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, God says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So from this scripture in Isaiah 42, verse 8, we can clearly establish that God is one and he does not share his glory with anyone. Therefore, if God himself is highly exalting Jesus, Jesus must be the same God. Can we say amen? Praise God. Because God doesn't share his glory with another. God will never tell us to worship somebody else unless that person is him himself. Praise God. And if we do not highly exalt the name of Jesus, we are not exalting God. We are not honoring the one God. This is why God has highly exalted him, because I will explain to you something wonderful, hopefully, through this message, why God highly exalts only Jesus. We will talk about it. The question is, why would God give more honor to this person and to this name of Jesus? Listen carefully. The answer is simple and yet profound. It is in this person, Jesus, that God himself did his most exalted work ever. Praise God. Can we all say amen? I need to repeat that. Why does God exalt only Jesus? Why doesn't he exalt Jehovah Elion, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah? Because it was through this person, through the ministry of the flesh, when God was manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16, that he did the crowning work of his, shall we say all that God did. So, in other words, God is saying the only way he wants to be worshiped, although he did many great things in the past, is through Jesus. Amen. That's why when I hear people giving glory to Jehovah, I don't feel comfortable. We don't forbid them, you know? We don't forbid them. But you are not obeying what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying God has exalted Jesus, given him a name which is above every name. So why use the name Jehovah when God has given the highest name to himself in the name Jesus? The highest glory and honor God has given to himself is through the name Jesus. Can we shout amen? Hallelujah. So if we use any other name, it's not giving glory to Jesus. It's like God is saying, excuse me, do you not want to honor me through the name Jesus? Because he accomplished the greatest work ever. And I will prove to you through the name Jesus. Amen. Through the name Jesus. That's why it is only at the name of Jesus that everything in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow down. Not in any other name. All creation, angels, demons, animals, sea creatures, will all respond immediately to the name Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a beautiful name. This is how God wants to be exalted, brothers and sisters. Not through a trinity. That word is not found in the Bible. It is a corrupt doctrine which was invented by Greek philosophers in Athens in Greece. It does not glorify God to use a name or a title invented by philosophers. Babblers, Paul called them. It doesn't glorify God to use titles, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Nobody will bow down at the name of those titles or at the mention of those titles. But the universe will only respond and acknowledge the name Jesus. Let us learn to use that name. Let us greet each other in that name. Let us always be pleased with what God is pleased with. Because the Bible says it pleased God that in him should dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It pleased God. Hallelujah. It did not please the Trinitarians. So they said God cannot only dwell in the Son, in that flesh, he must also dwell in two other persons. This is the tragedy of Christianity. God only wants to and dwells in his flesh, his Son. And the Spirit in the flesh is today what we call Jesus, Yahushua, Jehovah Yasha. Hallelujah. To refuse to use his name is to refuse to recognize God manifested in the flesh. When a person says Jesus with faith, that person is accepted that God has come in the flesh to save us. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise God. So just mentioning and using the name Jesus will bestow a blessing upon us because we are recognizing the greatest of all revelations, the greatest of all ministries, the greatest of all mysteries. Praise God. Let's say that name together. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. When we continue, we need to meditate on this work for which God has highly exalted the name Jesus. Let us turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 6 and 7. Praise God. Isaiah 52, verses 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I." Everybody say, "I." God is one person. He is never a they. He is never a plurality. We will always fight this doctrine. We will always reject it and rebuke it in Jesus' name because it is a lie that attacks the greatest of all revelations. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Hallelujah. "And thou shalt love." We are not only to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." We are to love the fact that our God is one with all, say with me, all our hearts, our minds, our souls. So when we defend this doctrine, we will defend it with all our emotions, with all our strength, with all our mind. We will fight, we will contend for this revelation, which is the greatest of all revelations, because it is the first truth. The first of all truths is God is one. Anybody who attacks that is attacking the greatest of all truth. A person who attacks the greatest of all truths cannot proceed to any other truth. What happened with Adam and Eve? They had only one commandment. They only were supposed to keep the greatest of all truths. They didn't have a Bible, they didn't have 10 commandments. One command, and they couldn't keep it. What is that command? That no one can be like God. God is one and alone. Hear, O Adam and Eve, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. But what did they do? They sat together with a philosopher called Satan. He was always the first philosopher who began to talk nonsense. The same philosopher talked to the Greek philosophers and said, he must have told them in Athens, what did you hear about Jesus in Jerusalem? They said, the apostle said he's one God. No, there are three. You also can be God. This is the beginning of all confusion. This is the beginning of all nonsense. Brothers and sisters, we must determine every day we are one God people, strictly one God people. We will not tolerate to hear, we will challenge anyone who says God is more than one. Never. We will contend for this faith which was once given to the saints. Amen. In the book of Jude. It's our duty to contend. You will be blessed if you contend. Don't be quiet when you hear somebody say God is more than one. Challenge them in Jesus. Our God is one. And we love this truth. We love it with everything in us. Some people love their country. They become teary-eyed about their country. For us, our country is God is one. Our heritage is God is one. Our father, our mother, our everything is our God is one. It's not some, by the way, some sort of allegiance to some institution or organization. No. This is the truth. This is the God that we, who saved us. The God we worship every day, the God we love. We love the fact that He's one. Amen. Be sure you love this truth, or the Trinitarians will take you one day. God have mercy. But God says in Isaiah 52, verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. God has one name. He didn't say they shall know my names, plural. He doesn't have names, He has one name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am He. Somebody say, He, God is He. He's never they. He's never plurality in Jesus' name. Behold, it is I. So if anybody holds the doctrine that God is more than one, repent in Jesus' name. Repent of receiving a lie from the devil. I'm speaking to people who may hear this recording in years to come. God is singularly one. We must repent if we believe He's more than one. Isaiah 52, verse 7, there is no greater testimony than the one that God gives of Himself. To reject the testimony that God gives about Himself. Who knows God better than God? Who knows Him? Ask Him, how many are you, my God? Don't ask the Cappadocian fathers from Turkey. Don't ask the people who gather. Don't ask Constantine. Don't ask the Council of Chalcedon and Nicaea and Constantinople. Who are they? They were liars of the truth of God. To know who God is, ask God. And God is telling us here, and many times in the Bible, He makes it clear. He says, is there a God with Him? Is there a God beside Him? Listen to what he says in Isaiah 44, verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. There is one thing our God does not know. He does not know another God beside him. Our God does not know about such something called Trinity. Even he heard it first time in the Council of Nicaea and Constantinople. God, it was news for God. He's like, what? Am I three? What? He said, I don't know any other God beside him. Let's not lie about God. He is alone. He is singular. Let's leave it at that. Amen. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Please listen carefully now. Over the years, I've heard people take Isaiah 52 verse 7 and apply to preachers, those who witness about the gospel. It's not wrong. But in its original context, you have to connect it to Isaiah 52 verse 6. Listen to what he says. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I'm he that doth speak. That is me, that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And then he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. Who is this him? Who is he that who's going to speak? Say Jesus. So this scripture in Isaiah is speaking about Jesus. Jesus is the one of whom God says, my people shall know my name. They shall know that I am he that doth speak. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. Say him, one person, him. Who is that person? Say Jesus. That bringeth good tidings. Didn't Jesus read some of these scriptures in the synagogue? How did we treat Jesus? How? Let me tell you, the first sermon that God preached to us, we wanted to kill him. That is how we treated him. Did you know the first sermon God once preached to us, the response was to try to take him and throw him out of the cliff. That's how we responded to our God. Somebody says, oh, I wish I could have heard one of the sermons of my God. I don't think so. Everyone in that synagogue, have you ever heard of a church hearing a message and then everybody taking that preacher to throw him, kill him? Imagine if Brother Paul went and preached somewhere and people come to grab me and throw me and kill me because of a message I preached. Jesus is the one God. Jesus is the one of whom it says here, they shall know my name. The name that God exalted very highly. Hallelujah. They shall know that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. When they told him, who are you? He said, he's the Father. Have I been so long time with you? And hast thou not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Behold, it is I. Amen. John 14, verse 9. Oh, hallelujah. What a powerful gospel. What a powerful revelation. God was speaking about a day when he would come and speak to his people with a mouth and feet. God was saying in Isaiah 52, a day when he himself would preach his own salvation, praise God. When he himself would tell his people, thy God reigneth. Oh, wow, what a day. What a day. Do you see how much God longed for that day? Praise Jesus. He spoke highly of that day from the beginning. From the beginning, God was praising that day, exalting that day, speaking highly of that day. Beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. Let me tell you, there was never a time in the history of womanhood when a woman, Eve, felt so defeated and hopeless. Can you imagine what she was going through? The name Eve means the mother of all living. But now, because she wanted to be like God, she became the mother of death. A mother can either be a mother of the living or the mother of the dead. Depending on what you choose. Choose Jesus, woman. Amen. And you will be the mother of the living. Live for Jesus. Breathe Jesus. And God will give life to your children. God will give life to your children in Jesus' name. There was never a time in the history of womanhood when a woman was so depressed. This was the mother of all depressions. This was the mother of all sins. But guess what? In the midst of this bleakest period in the history of womanhood, God spoke hope to the woman. God did not abandon the woman. God converted her defeat into a promised victory by speaking highly of the day God would be manifested in the flesh. I'm telling you, no matter what your defeat is, the greatest hope God wants to give you in the midst of your defeat, whatever you're going through, is the Messiah will come. God will be manifested in the flesh, and he has come. He has been manifested in the flesh. So whatever your problem is, there is hope. There is hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus defeats our depression, our mistakes. No matter how low we may sink, at the name of Jesus, the defeat converted into victory, because this is the name that God himself has exalted. When you are suffering some depression, some horrible, learn to say the name Jesus, because that name is only going to lift you up. The name Jesus, whenever it's mentioned, it goes up to heaven. It must be lifted up. It will lift you up. Hallelujah. It will carry you to heaven. Amen. If you commit sin, if you live with the devil, you will be sinking, sinking, sinking into the miry pit. That is the time to shout Jesus, because that name has been exalted by God himself. That name reaches to heaven. That name cannot be buried. The Romans tried to bury that name. That name cannot stay in the graveyard. You cannot go to any grave and say, Jesus, Jesus, because that name doesn't belong in the graveyard. The angel said, why are you looking for the living? Why are you calling the name Jesus in the graveyard? The name Jesus doesn't belong in the graveyard. It rises up to heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. This is the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know that if you board a plane, it's only going to go one way. Have you ever taken a plane that goes down into the sea? I haven't. A plane is made to rise up. The name of Jesus is made to raise us up from the dead, from the doldrums of depression, from every gloomy cloud. It bursts through the heavens. Hallelujah. It cannot be incarcerated. It cannot be imprisoned. Are you have shackles on you? Are you going through some? Just learn to shout the name of Jesus by faith. See what happens. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because this is a name that God himself has highly exalted. Hallelujah. Praise God. Eve was given hope through the promise of God, the coming of Jesus. All you need to do is exalt the one Jesus of whom God thinks and speaks so highly of, and you will rise from the bottom and touch the sky of victory. Praise God. In 1960, the director of NASA's space flight development, a guy called Abe Silverstein, he proposed the name Apollo for the manned project to the moon. The main reason was the Greek god Apollo was the god of the sun. According to Greek mythology, Apollo, the son of Zeus, pulled the sun and its course across the sky each day in his horse-drawn golden chariot. Think about it. Some of the smartest people on the earth, when they were planning the first, you know, launch to the moon, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, etc., some smart aleck decided to call the whole project after a Greek god, Apollo. For us Christians, the name of our project to heaven is called Jesus. What name, brothers and sisters, will provide the power of liftoff from this earth and cause us to land safely in heaven? It's not Apollo. It's the name Jesus. Because the Bible says one of these days, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, say in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, hallelujah. Can you imagine the power in the name of Jesus that will take millions of people up? Even NASA will be astonished. What? Where did he get that power for liftoff? Say in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, praise God, there will be liftoff. We will be caught up, say caught up. Amen. Our project is not called Apollo, it's called Jesus. There will be liftoff in the name of Jesus. We will meet him in the sky. And he will take us beyond the moon, beyond the planets, beyond the stars, to a place called the New Jerusalem. Praise God. Amen. How do we go to the New Jerusalem? That basically, this is what Thomas was asking. We don't know the way. We don't know how to get there. You know, Thomas wanted a map. There is no map, my friend, which will take you to where Jesus is. The way to get there is say, Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah, at the name of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. Just mentioning that name is the whole gospel. It is the full truth. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Hallelujah. Everything we need, we are complete in that name. Say, Jesus, and that is your map to heaven. That is your power for liftoff to heaven. Praise Jesus. Amen. Ah! Hallelujah. You know, you want to just break out in tongues. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Ephesians. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Hallelujah. 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 Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together. Somebody say, quickened us together. With Christ, by grace you are saved. Somebody say, quicken us. You may be dead in sins. Don't worry. Jesus has the power for liftoff. Quicken us together. Ah, hallelujah. Verse 6, and hath raised us up. This is what I'm talking about. Raise us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hath raised us up together. Didn't I tell you the name Jesus? It's only one way. The only way is up. There was a song in a worldly song in the 90s. The only way is up. I hope you were speaking about Jesus. Praise God. Amen. The only way is up with the name Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul states that God also hath exalted him. Can we say that together? God also hath highly exalted him. Let me remind you. Human beings sadly degraded Jesus. If you leave it to human beings, we do not exalt Jesus. We tend to degrade Jesus, debase Jesus. We allowed him to be. Let me share with you a catalog of how we treated Jesus. When I say we, say me, me. We allowed him to be born in a manger. You may say, no, no, not me. Yes, all of us. We had no room for him. When God came to save us, the Word was made flesh. We said, sorry, we don't have a place for you. Can you please be born with the animals? That's how we welcomed him to this earth. We rejected his first sermon. Think about it. I mentioned it earlier. In fact, we were so offended by his first sermon that we wanted it to be his last sermon. God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. They wanted to make God's first sermon his last sermon. Think about it. Think about it. God have mercy. We dragged him to throw him off a cliff in Nazareth. Mostly, we followed him to exploit him for food and physical healing. In other words, we looked upon him like a supermarket of sorts, a charity of sorts. We complained whenever he declared that he was God, manifested in the flesh. In fact, we complained so much that we decided in the end he must die the most humiliating death, crucifixion. We were happy to receive of the gifts of his miracles, but we were not happy with what he was declaring about his identity and his mission. And in the end, after he enriched us, after he healed us, after he told us about the kingdom of God, after he showed us this incredible love, we said, crucify. Our record in dealing with Jesus was a terrible one, appalling when he walked on this earth. We called him Beelzebul. We spat upon him and inevitably determined that Jesus and his apostles were not worthy to walk this earth. Think about it. In the book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 22, the Bible said they gave him audience unto this word and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. It's what they said about the Apostle Paul. We know how they treated all the apostles. We dug a tomb for Jesus and expected him to remain there. But thankfully, God also had highly exalted him. So it was impossible for humans to keep humiliating Jesus. The death and burial of Jesus was the limit of human humiliation of Jesus. From that time on, God highly exalted him above every name. Amen. The day we buried Jesus, that was the end of us debasing Jesus, degrading Jesus. Since that day, God has highly exalted him. And no human, no demon can ever degrade Jesus. Thank God. Every suffering has a limit. Every humiliation has a limit. Hallelujah. Our humiliation, our suffering also ends with the resurrection of Jesus, brothers and sisters, because our lives are hid in Christ Jesus. We identify with Christ Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But from that time on, God highly exalted him above every name. Like I said earlier, the more you take the name of Jesus down, the higher God will exalt this name. Praise Jesus. Ah, that's a quotable quote. Let's repeat it. The more one takes the name of Jesus down, the higher God will exalt this name. Whatever terrible thing one does to the name of Jesus, God will exalt his name even higher. That is why Jesus said in John chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Destroy means humiliate. Do whatever you want to do with this temple. But in 3 days, the more you destroy it, the more you spit upon it, the more you insult it, the more, hallelujah, power will be revealed in the resurrection of this body. And what a glorious resurrection. What a glorious resurrection. Soldiers became like dead men. 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus. On the road to Damascus, the man who was on a mission to wipe out Christianity himself fell on his knees. Hallelujah. And realized that the name of Jesus is exalted. Do you know that the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, God has highly exalted him? He is speaking from experience. Can somebody say amen? He fell down at that name. He shouted, "Who are you, Lord?" And the answer came, "I am Jesus." You see, that's why he wrote, "God has highly exalted this name. He is witness." He could not destroy this name. He was on his knees. That's why he said, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I, my own knees, fell down by force." He was not a Christian. He didn't go down on his knees out of love. Jesus forced him. Because the time of humiliating Jesus was finished. It was finished. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Saul, have you not read the scriptures that he, the Messiah, would die and rise up the third day? And there's no way you can try to humiliate Jesus again. You can't, but you can't touch Jesus. You can't wipe out the faith of Jesus." Saul was blind. He fell on his knees and he heard, "I am Jesus." Hallelujah. From that day on, he lifted the name of Jesus. He praised the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I also praise the name of Jesus because I met him many years ago. He shocked me. I didn't expect. I believe Jesus is a prophet who was in heaven, but for me, Muhammad was the last prophet. And now Jesus appears. And the first thing I said, "What is Isa bin Maryam doing? What is Jesus, the son of Mary," was what we call him in Islam. "What is Jesus doing here?" At the name of Jesus. From that day, I exalted the name of Jesus. From that day, I cannot stop thinking of the name of Jesus. I cannot stop exalting the name of Jesus. Because when he met me, he was exalted. I could see he was exalted. He did not need to tell me that he is exalted. I could see, I could feel he is exalted. Amen. That is why I have no problem to exalt him. To not exalt the name of Jesus is abnormal. God has exalted him. Hallelujah. And God is Jesus. As I said earlier, the death and burial, resurrection of Jesus stopped the humiliation of Jesus. Nobody can touch Jesus anymore. This is the great and blessed paradox of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's anyone who will hear this message in years to come, months to come, please listen to me. If you're not saved through the name Jesus, hear me for a moment. The way to victory over this world is to identify with the humiliation of Jesus. What do I mean by that? When you repent and are baptized in Jesus' name in the waters of salvation, you position yourself for the victory of resurrection through a new birth. Praise God. Once you identify with the name of Jesus, you will suffer rejection and humiliation in this world. However, this is precisely the way to achieve victory. Amen. Satan did not understand that when he was egging the people on to kill Jesus, through death, Jesus would triumph. This is a paradox of salvation. Do you want to live forever? Then you must die with Christ. Die to your pride. Die to the fact that you lived without God all these years. The God who sustains you. The Bible says in him we live and move and have our being. Do you eat somebody's food and never thank them? You enjoy God's sunshine? God's provision. You breathe God's air, and you have never said thank you. You've never bowed down to appreciate this God. This is a grievous sin, a grievous sin. But God loves you. You did it in ignorance, the Apostle Peter said. But now God, Paul said to the Athenians in Greece, God commands men everywhere to repent. Repent for ignoring him. Repent for shutting him out of your life. Repent for thinking that if you ignore him, he will disappear. Repent for believing that he doesn't exist. You know he exists. The greatest self-deception. There is nobody more deluded than the person who deceives himself or herself to believe there is no God. The Bible said the fool has said there is no God. Don't be a fool in the eyes of God. Be wise in the eyes of God. Whatever your conflicted relationship with your father, because he is your father. The son shall be called the everlasting father, Isaiah 9:6. He loves you. He's not just angry with you. He is praying for you. Through us. He's sending people like me, whose voice you are hearing. Wherever you may be in the world. Over 70 countries come into our website to hear the gospel. I'm speaking to somebody out there. It's time to stop running from God. You cannot escape and ignore the person whom God has so highly exalted, whose name is Jesus. Return. Return and make peace with your God. His name is Jesus. His word was made flesh. A body. He loved you so, and me and you so much, that he allowed his invisible word to look like you and me. He prepared a body for himself so he can communicate with you and me. So he can show you, though he's God, God is a spirit. He's everywhere. We can't deal with God as a spirit. So he came to look like you and me, to tell you how much he loves you, how much he loves me. He doesn't need food, but he ate with you and me, so he will not scare you and me. He laughed with us. He smiled at us. He comforted us. He listened to us. And then he told us about his kingdom. He told us that he did not create us to live the way we're living. When he made us in his image. You are not living the way your father wanted you to live. You're living way below, abysmally below what God intended for you and me. Make yourself acquainted with him. He did everything. He came, he put on a body of his own word. He entered that body. He spoke to us through that body. And when we asked him, how is God like? He said, he is God. Look no further. God is not some faraway, angry person who hates you. He came to you. He lived with you. You can read about him in his book, the Bible, the New Testament. He forgave us our sins. He did not condemn us. He just said, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. A person who has walked, who has lived on this earth and has never known Jesus, that is the wasted life. There is no waste like that waste. This is why Jesus commanded us to go to the whole world. Everybody deserves to know what God came and did for them. It is a crime not to know how much God loves you and what he did for you. Acquaint yourself with him. He says, repent of your sins. Do not love this world. Do not love this world. It's already programmed for destruction. Why will you love that which God has already programmed for destruction? Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Be you holy, hallelujah. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. Love God more than destruction. Love God more than what God hates. Repent. All that I'm speaking about is repentance. Jesus came. God gave his body for our sins. He shed his blood. He gave his flesh, his blood for us. He made a covenant with us. He wrote his signature in our hearts through his flesh and blood. This is our covenant with him. All you need to do is believe this message. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus in a watery grave. Put off the body of Adam, and God will give you his body, the only body which is of the Word of God. It is not of this earth, it is of the Word of God. Only the Word of God lives forever. You want to live forever? Be baptized in Jesus. Receive the body which lives forever. And the same God will confirm to you that all what you did and what I said is true by filling you with his spirit. Hallelujah. The same God will come to you. We are not telling you about a God who came 2,000 years ago. I am telling you about a God who will come to you right now. He will enter into you. He's not a God of 2,000 years ago. He's a God of here and now. He says, test me. Be repent, be baptized, and you will see. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. You will know that this God himself will return to you. He didn't only come to Bethlehem. He's here in Oslo, Norway. He is in Timbuktu, Mali. He's in Tokyo, Japan. Jesus is everywhere now. He will come to you. He will live in you, and he will not leave you until he takes you to heaven. This is the most beautiful story. This is the most beautiful story. This is what everything is about. This is what excites us. This is the good news. Amen. Save yourself. God has saved you, but now you must save yourself. You must accept his salvation. Work out your own salvation. Fall upon his name. Hallelujah. Let me continue. You see, the way to achieve victory, as I said, is through death with Jesus Christ. And then you will experience the new birth. This new birth is of God. Jesus will give birth to you. How about that? Imagine somebody asking you, who is your father? And you say, Jesus Christ. Praise God. That is true. Who is my father? Who is my mother? Jesus Christ. Ask Satan, he will confirm it. He's a witness. Hallelujah. Jesus is witness, and there are millions of angels who are witnesses. Somebody asks you, what witness is there? All the angels were rejoicing when Jesus gave birth to me. They congratulated Jesus because nobody has more children in the universe than Jesus. I'm sorry, Arab sheikhs. Arab sheikhs, you know, there's jokes. I don't mean to make fun of Arabs, but we know that there are many jokes about Arab sheikhs who don't even know the names of their children. There's so many. Let me tell you, Jesus, nobody has more children than Jesus. And Jesus knows each one's name. He can tell you everything about each child. Nobody is richer in children than Jesus. Even Father Abraham may not know your name. How can he? For the natural children, but Jesus knows every child That is his choice. Amen. Praise God. When Jesus sees us, he receives us like your own mother would receive you, your own father would receive. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, hallelujah. I know the world can never defeat me. I know the world can never defeat you who believe in what I'm saying. Because whatever is born of God, it didn't say whatever, whoever believes in God. That's nice. It's not enough to believe. You must be born again of God. How can this thing be? How can I enter my mother's womb? But second of all, I'm glad you're repeating the question of Nicodemus. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5. The water is where you remove the body of Adam. What happens when there is dirt? What happens when there is dirt? How do you remove it? You wash it with water. How do we get rid of the body which was from the dust which we received of Adam? Well, that body is dust. It's even called Adam. Adam means dust, dirt, the red earth. Wash it away with water in Jesus. Bury it with water in the name of Jesus. So what happens after that? Well, God has a new body for you. His own body of his word. Wow. And the body of Jesus multiply? Yes. His own body was born of the word of God. The word of God can give birth. The word of God gave birth to God's own body. And God will continue to give birth, giving us new bodies. Ah, hallelujah. Bodies which are born of the flesh of God. Amen. Imagine I will have a flesh forever, which is born of God. This is the meaning of born of God, to have a flesh which is of the word of God. Thou art my son. Today, this day, I have begotten thee. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. The flesh of Jesus is begotten of God. And in baptism in Jesus' name, God will give birth to a new flesh for you, of his own flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Say, there's no mother involved. No, there's no mother. Don't let anybody fool you. There's no church giving birth to anybody. Who gave birth to the church? Said, the church is my mother. So who is the father of this mother called church? Every mother has a father, the last time I checked. Is that a mother with no father? I'm telling you, every mother has a father. We have only one father. Have we not one father? Malachi 2:10. Everything begins with God. In heaven, I don't mean to disrespect any mother, but we don't have mothers. We have only a father. He's the source of everything. My father. Can we say Father Jesus? Father Jesus. When I speak to Jesus, I say, Father Jesus, you are my Father Jesus. Amen. Our Father, his name is Jesus. Amen. So I hope when you say Father, you are speaking about Jesus, because there is no other Father. Amen. We don't have two, three fathers. I'm sorry. Even science says it's not possible. So the greatest conquerors of this world were not the Julius Caesars, the Alexanders, the Genghis Khans, the Napoleons, or even a General Douglas MacArthur of the Second World War, American. I am looking into the faces and eyes of the greatest conquerors of this world. Amen. It is you who are born of Jesus Christ who are here listening to this message. You are the greatest conquerors. There's no greater conquerors. Those who are born again of God, we are the greatest conquerors through Jesus. Has anything or anyone defeated Jesus? Never. Not even death. And we are his sons and daughters. That's why we can say with the Apostle Paul, Romans 8, verse 37, nay, In all these things, say in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than Alexanders. We are more than Genghis Khans. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, hallelujah. We are more than conquerors, brothers and sisters. Like I said, let me conclude with who said these words that we began with? Wherefore, Philippians 2:9, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Who said these words? The Apostle Paul. What about him? I mentioned that this man, as Saul of Tarsus, he experienced firsthand how God hath highly exalted the name of Jesus. Saul must have celebrated the death of Jesus. Don't forget, he was there when Stephen was killed. He was very happy. Saul must have thanked Jehovah for ridding the world of Jesus of Nazareth, or so he thought. But he became mad when he realized that the name of Jesus refused to stay buried with the body of Jesus in the grave. Why doesn't this name stay in the grave? There are some names that do not stay in graves. Not some names, one name. And we are the children of that God. And that's why our names will not stay in the grave also. So until the body of Jesus would be found, Saul decided to make sure the name of Jesus would be brought back to the grave, so to speak. He said, I'll go everywhere and bring the name of Jesus back to the grave. But on the road to Damascus, I love the road to Damascus. If there is one good thing Damascus has given us in Syria, it is Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He saw Jesus high and lifted up. He realized that Jesus was not in the grave in Jerusalem. Jesus was in Damascus. Wow, what? Are you not supposed to be in Jerusalem? No, Jesus is in Damascus. Let me tell you, Jesus is everywhere. Jesus was exalted in Damascus also. And Saul fell on his knees and confessed Jesus is God. So when Saul of Tarsus wrote that Jesus was exalted and that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, he was speaking about his own experience. Either through love or force, we will all highly exalt Jesus. Amen. Let me conclude. There is no other person or name that God has glorified more than Jesus. Why? The reason is because the greatest work that God ever did was when he manifested himself through Jesus. So, in order for a person to please God, one must acknowledge and exalt the work that God has done through the name Jesus. Jesus is not another member of the Trinity. He is Jehovah himself manifested in the flesh. That is why in John chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Receive this revelation today that Jesus is the one God, the Father himself. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus today if you wish to please God and conquer this world, and you will receive his Holy Spirit that you may be empowered to live a life holy and pleasing to him. Let's all conclude by reading together from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message. You are highly exalted. We understand why you are highly exalted. We understand why it is imperative upon the whole world to understand why you are highly exalted. The greatest work you ever did is through the name Jesus. You saved your people from their sins. You humbled yourself. You took upon you the form of a servant. You suffered abuse, tremendous abuse, all because you loved us so much. You were not willing to leave us in our sins, separated eternally from you. This is your crowning achievement. This is why you wear that crown in the book of Revelation for this work that you did. And truly, this is the greatest of all works. Truly, we will bow our knees to this name, Jesus. Truly, we are privileged to understand, to receive, and to live for this name. I pray for those who will hear this message and are uncertain, on the fence, even dismissive of the claims of this message. I pray, Lord, that you convict them by the power of your Spirit, save them, deliver them from mockery, from derision in Jesus' name. Save their souls. In the name of Jesus, bless everyone who believes this message. Let them not settle for anything less than the name of Jesus, this revelation of Jesus, that our God is one. His name is Jesus. Salvation is in his name alone. And you commanded every person, all men everywhere and women, to repent, because there will come a day when every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Hallelujah. We bless you, we magnify you, we exalt you. We confess today, you are God. We confess that your name is highly exalted. The name of Jesus is highly exalted. We bless you. Bless everyone that is here today. Bless those who will hear this message in the future. I pray you bless them in the name of Jesus. We know that when we study you, we are changed. We feel your presence, your power, your goodness. It is indescribable. Just to study is a blessing. May this blessing come upon all your people. Heal them, deliver them, answer their prayers because they love this truth. Encourage them in this truth by answering their prayers in Jesus' name, whether physical ailments, mental ailments, in Jesus' name, financial problems, whatever they may be going through, pain because of children, pain because of fear and doubt. I believe the revelation in the name of Jesus is sufficient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For blessed are those who believe in this revelation. And blessed means God will make you happy. You will not give us this blessed revelation and leave us in misery. But along with this revelation of joy, you will also make changes when changes need to be made in our lives, Jesus. Bless your people. Your people know when they are blessed at their jobs, in their homes, in their bodies. We know. We feel it. We know it's because of the name of Jesus and the revelation of Jesus. So come today, Jesus, right now. Because of the prayer of your servant, I beg you, I plead with you. Bless your people for the sake of this truth, for the sake of this revelation, that we may continue to exalt it higher and higher as long as we live, wherever we go in this world. Bless your people. Bring joy into their lives through this revelation. Hallelujah. For this revelation brings joy. It brings joy, mighty joy that we feel in our bones and our spirit. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We bless you in Jesus' name, we pray. And the church says amen. God bless you abundantly. I yield the mic to Brother Simon. May I encourage you in conclusion, please understand what I was praying at the end. This is what the Bible says. It's my experience. Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God, meaning spend your time studying Jesus. Anybody who studies Jesus is changed. Jesus is not like other people. If you study other people, you will be offended. If you study Jesus, you will be attracted to him and your life will change. You will be completely transformed, just drawing near to Jesus and studying him. He's powerful. He's living. He's alive. You can feel it. Amen. Draw closer to him. Don't run after other things. Don't worry about anything. Just worry about knowing Jesus. Let that be the only worry you have. Who are you, Lord? Amen. Look for Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Look at Jesus. Think about Jesus. That's all you need in life. Everything else will be taken care of. God bless you in Jesus. Brother Simon.